Splatching has been involved for 40 years, as been mentioned earlier. So for us, you know, it's very good to see that Canada's allowing the other communities to follow the lead of taking care of this very important responsibility of handling our kids in care. So I guess to that end, that's the long time coming. You know, previous Cookby Wayne Christian mentioned, you know, that no other community was allowed to follow our lead back in 1980. So it's rather heartwarming to see that, you know, we're the first in BC to sign this agreement, and that we get the chance to continue what we're doing. So, Cook's Gem. I think going forward, we'll be more engaged with other communities. From what I understand, there's communities that are a little bit ahead of us in regards to reviving our cultural traditions and our ways. Our nation, you know, Cookby Roseanne is here, she's standing to my left, but, you know, the four pillars, you know, that we focus on is really what we base the program upon, which is our language, laws of the land, and basically it's reconnecting, you know, our children with the ways that have been lost through the residential school. As an example, my mother lost her sense of the language, and when we moved back in 1981, she spoke very little of our language. Thanks to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, she's one of the elders in our community that says prayers in our language, and that's very important for me because we suffered an identity crisis through the residential school. It caused addiction issues, and that's the reason why this program existed in the first place, and the 60 Scoop existed in the first place, because to take the Indian out of the child was the main directive of these schools. So to revive our traditions, it gives us a sense of pride and identity of who we are and where we come from. And again, that's the cornerstone of where we want to go. So as far as learning from other communities, we hope to get to that point once the other communities, you know, get accustomed to dealing with all the funding agreements and all the responsibility, because again, we can't stress enough that it does take a community to raise a child, and how do we translate that into an effective child welfare program, because it cannot be just based on the needs of the child, it's got to be based on the needs of your community. Because as I mentioned earlier, if you left a child out in the wilderness, a toddler out in the wilderness, they would have a hard time surviving on their own. So that's where coming together as a community and being a holistic approach becomes very important. And like I say, once other communities get accustomed to working within this format of taking care of our children, we can share information from there. So this is one of the programs you have to lead with your heart. You know, you have to have your heart in it. It can't be for your self-glorification. You can't be doing it to be recognized. You have to really be engaged, and you really have to understand the need to understand our culture, our customs, our language, because it's going to be my duty to pass on to the children in care, and it's going to be their duty to pass it on when it comes to the seventh generation thinking. So the other piece I mentioned earlier was the importance of the chain of leadership. So again, it's very important in the seventh generation thinking that we learn our ways, our culture, and our language. We continue the revival that I spoke of earlier about my mother, you know, the words coming back.